Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The back and forth between Metro workers and management ticked way up this week with a union vote on Sunday to authorize a strike, but it hasn't happened yet. Will there be one? Well, tonight we ask that question and look at the contentious issues surrounding the D.C. area's Metro and as the embattled public transportation system for this region. Well, joining me to talk about this is Jackie Jeter, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, local number 689. What do you think about the ongoing dispute between workers and Metro management? Well, we're talking about it. I want to hear from you tonight. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We will certainly take as many calls as we can, even after 7:30. Tweet us also using the hashtag WHURFM. Ms. Jeter, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Is there going to be a strike this week?
It depends. That depends on WMATA. We have met today, and we have exchanged our demands and what we would like, or what we're demanding, I should say. And it's up to them. We meet again tomorrow at 10, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
What happened in the meeting today?
Not a lot. We talked more than anything, but not a lot of resolution. I think both sides expressed their opinions about what is going on and what they would like to see happen in order to resolve it.
We invited Jack Evans, the chair of Metro's board of directors, onto the program. And while he was unable to make an appearance in person or on the phone, we did have an opportunity to interview him earlier. And he was asked what the impact of a possible strike could be. And this is what he shared with us.
There is no way we can get that amount of people into the city in cars. We don't have, you know, buses sitting around that we can find drivers for or run the rail system because we don't have people who know how to do that. So you will have gridlock. You will have people who are angry and people who can't get to work.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
With that said, and considering the kind of confusion and difficulty for commuters that a strike could cause, even a strike for half a day, what do you say to people who say, well, these are just really empty threats? This is a poker game that the union is playing in order to get Metro management to sit down and to agree to their demands?
I would say that that is not what's happening. Mm-hmm. Local 689 doesn't play games. I've been the president of this union for 12 years, and the 12 years that I've been president, we have never invoked a strike vote. We have colored within the lines. We have played the game by the rules. We have gone to negotiations, arbitrations. We have had small actions and demonstrations down at the Metro building. We have done everything in our power to keep from getting to this point. We have a general manager and a board in Jack Evans' leadership who has constantly ignored the cries of the workers. This is not about, and even this week, the general manager has been going to his supporters and claiming that this is all about the collective bargaining agreement. It is about the collective bargaining agreement, but it is not about the issues that we have in interest arbitration. This is about the general manager and the executive board, for that matter, agreeing or following the agreement that they made. when we sign the contract, it's not just Local 689's president, me, Jackie Jeter, signing the contract. It's also that general manager of the executive board, of the Metro board, I'm sorry, the general manager of Metro signing that agreement too. And that means that both sides will abide by it. WMATA has not abided by one thing in our collective bargaining agreement in over 3 years. And that's why we're at this point now. No, we don't want to see the gridlock of the traffic. No, we don't want to see passengers and customers being inconvenienced. And if we thought we could do it any other way, we wouldn't have taken a strike vote on Sunday. Since Sunday, I have heard Mario Bowser and different politicians talk about how this strike is illegal. I have not had one of them to knock on our door, or ring my phone, and say, what can I do to help to get out of where we are? And they have turned a blind eye to all of the issues that we have put before them. If Jack Evans claims he doesn't know what's happening, I had a meeting in his office a week ago, and we explained this to him. So we tried everything that we possibly can, and this is our last resort because we don't believe that we're being heard. And no matter what happens, WMATA is still looked at as the golden boy, and they're allowing him to do whatever he wants to do. And Local 689 members have said, you may do what you want to do to the riding public, but you will not do it to us.
We are talking to Jackie Jeter. She is the president of the Union Workers for Metro, the Amalgamated Transit Union, local number 689. The union workers and Metro management have been in a battle over contracts as well as the way that many of these workers feel they have been mistreated by union management. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a lot of calls tonight. Want to hear what you think, whether you are a worker, whether you are a commuter, whether you ride the bus. We want to hear from you. Ron, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm Ron Smith, and I'm with Local 922.
Okay, Ron.
We're transit workers as well, and we're certainly in support of the president of the ATU, Jackie Jeter. And we support what her union has to do in order to get this general manager to do the right thing.
Okay.
I mean, we've gone through it. You just heard her speech about the last 12 years, and we as the other local have gone through the same thing. So we certainly support our colleagues in their fight to strike. I mean, strike is not a good thing, but sometimes you have to play the hand that's dealt. And right now, this is the direction I'm hope that she's going to go in.
Okay. Ron, thank you so much. Ms. Jeter, you want to comment briefly on what Ron was talking about?
Well, I just say thank you. I know that 922 is in support. They are workers that do the same work that we do, and they are also under the same hammer that we're under. So we're all in this together.
I want to play another comment today from Jack Evans, the chair of Metro's board of directors, because he suggests that this problem has to do with arbitration. So this is what he said, and I want you to comment about that on the other side.
Well, I want them to decide. There's nothing I can do or anything, buddy, anything can do because it's in the arbitration process. But I'm as an admonition to them from the chairman of the board of Metro, decide. It can't be that difficult. You know, what are the issues? Decide them. You've had them for 6 months, 8 months, and then tell us where we are. And that's all I can do. I'm saying it to you because it would be great to put it on the radio and let everybody in the region know that this is being caused largely because the arbitrators can't decide.
True or false, Ms. Jeter?
False.
Why do you say that?
Chairman Evans, unfortunately, and I don't know exactly what it is, and I think they try to paint a picture that they want it to be, this has nothing to do with interest arbitration. Interest arbitration has to do with wages, benefits, pension. This has to do with working conditions. It has to do with Metro deciding that they're going to totally disregard the fact that we have a collective bargaining agreement which st- states how individuals select work. They took a entire department and relegated them only to pick in the rail, totally disregarding their seniority. And when we said something about it, although the language is in black and white, they totally disregarded, said, go file a grievance. We went into court. We asked for a temporary restraining order. We haven't gotten it yet, but it is a violation of the collective bargaining agreement. You can go down the list. They are contracting out Cinder Bed Road. They're contracting, and that's what they did to the custodians. They took their positions that they were able to pick in the bus garages and the facilities and gave them to contractors. He talks about a budget. One out of every four workers in the rail system on the shutdowns that they're doing over the weekend are contractors. You know, not long ago, they talked about the amount of money that was being spent on the repairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like somebody to ask, and I've said that to Jack Evans, why don't you ask the general manager how much money he's spending on contractors? They are all over the property. This is not just about, you know, interest arbitration. In July, they started a random background screening policy. So that's what we're against. Every absenteeism policy, they will not even sit down and negotiate with the union about it. When we find out about it and we ask to negotiate, they tell us no, file a grievance. So everything is a violation of the collective bargaining agreement, and this is what this is about. This is not about interest arbitration.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the issues surrounding D.C.'s metro system and the fight, for lack of a better term, between the workers, the union, and metro management. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Summer, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I would like to state that the pension being short is totally on WMATA, because they were supposed to be funding it for years, and they decided to just lay off funding it for a while, and so they got into a shortfall. So they claim that they don't have the money, you know, to pay the pensions properly, and they want to bring in new hires under 401k and all that. The truth of the matter is, if they were doing what they should have been doing for years, which is keeping current with their payments for funding the pension, we would not be in that situation. And then on top of that, you got where they hire contractors to do jobs, taking jobs away from the union workers. And from my experience, because I work there, what ends up happening is the seasoned 689 personnel have to go behind them and fix the screw-ups that they have created in the shoddy work that they've been doing.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to talk a little bit about what happened and how we, you know, how we got to this point. Have there been work stoppages or work slowdowns or work to rule strategies from the union, Ms. Jeter?
You know, I have to say no.
Well, there was a really pregnant pause there,
yeah,
so help me with that.
And the pregnant pause is this. You know, if workers have decided that they want to engage in actions to show their employers that they're dissatisfied, then that's what's going to happen. And that is, you know, I think that it's legitimate that every possible action that we can have without having a strike, without going out on strike, without inconveniencing the public as much as we possibly can, that's what we're trying to do to get the attention. You know, it's funny that a lot of individuals talk about whether or not a strike is illegal or actions are illegal, but none of those individuals will come to the table and say, let's find out what the problems are. Not even Paul Wiedefel. He has sent his designees, but he has not come himself, and I haven't heard from him.
Let me stop you there for a minute, because I've got to take a break, and I'll let you finish that point. I still have, as you might imagine, lots of questions. We've got a lot of phone calls that are coming through, and I really promise our listeners that I will be taking more phone calls, as always, after this break at 7:30. Tamika, calling from Maryland, we're going to talk to you. Jeffrey, you're next, calling from D.C. If you can't get through, please keep dialing. We will get to your phone calls. Just make your points short and direct. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Metro and a vote to authorize a strike. What's going on? What are the issues? We'll be back in just a moment. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the threat of a strike in Metro workers and the issues behind it. My guest is Jackie Jeter, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, local number 689, representing union workers. The lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ms. Jeter, you can finish the point that you were making about bringing some of the city officials to the table about this issue.
I'm sorry. I got sidetracked.
And that's quite all right.
I'm so sorry.
No, you were talking about city officials, politicians. You mentioned earlier about the mayor coming to the table and not trying to address this issue head on.
Right. And I know that they will not come to the table, but I do expect them to go to the general manager. I expect the mayor of the District of Columbia to go to Jack Evans and say, find out what the problem really is. You know, it's amazing because I sat in Jack Evans' office not a week and a half ago, and we laid out all of this to him and explained all of this to him, letting him know that it wasn't the part about, you know, the interest arbitration. That will take care of itself. I don't even want to bring it up because it is not a part of this. This is about work rules. The working to the rule, as you said a few minutes ago,
yes,
working
ma'am.
To the rules is not a violation. If they don't work to the rules, WMATA writes them up. We've had more than 306 people fired because of WMATA's rules and regulations. It is run like a concentration camp. It is very stringent. The absenteeism policy is one of those things that's the latest, where you have to call in order to get a planned absence. You have to call in 3 days in advance. It's asinine. And although I can say that maybe I understand where they're trying to get to, the way that they're trying to get there is It's like a concentration camp. People don't even want to work here anymore. Mm. I've never seen 500 people in my 40 years with WMATA. I've never seen 500 people retire in 1 year. They no longer want to work here.
Let me go to Jeffrey calling from D.C. Thank you for waiting, Jeffrey. What's on your mind?
I'm a local 689 union member.
Yes, sir.
And I've been with the company for several years. What's going on right now is ridiculous. 3 days, 72 hours in advance to report that you're sick. Management wants us to not have a life outside of Metro. The only thing that happens is Metro. My daughter can't get sick. I can't get a flat tire. I can't. My mother can't be sick. I mean, and at this point, with what they did to the janitors, people that have been working for the company 25, 30 years, you can't pick what's in the collective bargaining agreement, you can't pick when and where you work because they're giving it to contractors, so they don't have to pay health insurance, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this goes down to the Janus ruling by the Supreme Court. I see what's happening, and it's at my front door. I've got to pay my mortgage next month. I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to walk out and not pay my mortgage so the brothers and sisters who are behind me can pay their mortgage.
Okay. Jeffrey, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Tamika, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tamika. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm another Local 689 employee. I've mm-hmm. been with WMATA, and I've been actually under Jackie's presidency since she's been there. Heaven forbid, you know, us as parents, we don't want to see the public have to suffer. It's our kids, our sisters, our brothers, our nieces, our nephews, and everybody who's going to be riding them trains and buses to get back and forth to work. Mm-hmm. However, they also understand we deserve much more better treatment. It's crazy how so many of us are saying we have to stand. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And under this man's leadership, he's trying to make us fall for anything. We deserve much more better.
Okay. Tamika, thank you so much. Ms. Jeter, here's a question for the layperson, whether they use Metro, whether they ride the bus, or just pay attention to the news. And as a native Washingtonian, even for myself, I'm sure that you've made the observation and the workers have made the observation that Metro is trying to catch up after years and years of neglect about not keeping up with safety and updating and the like. Your thoughts about where that has put the workers, and would you at least agree that it has really kind of put the management of this system in a very difficult position?
I will agree that the workers as well as the riders have bared the brunt of the decisions that have been made in upper management, where the repairs down through the years have either been neglected or now how they're getting ready to be made.
Mm-hmm.
We're out there. We're doing the repairs. We're the ones that operate the trains during the same outages and same weekend, interruptions, the early closings, all of that we endure too, and we have put up with it. When we go through the single tracking situations, just like the customers, the passengers are having a hard time getting home, they're missing buses, missing picking up their kids, all of that, so are we. And we have endured it too. So we understand it. We do. We understand it. And we also say that the same managers that now put themselves in an elitist position because they believe that their thoughts and their ideas are the only thing. Maintenance is ongoing repairs, and it can never be finished in one big sweep. You will always have, WMATA will always be making repairs, always. This railroad in its 40 years will never be new again, and so that is something that we have to look forward to through the years. One of the reasons why we're doing exactly what we're doing right now is because through that neglect, passengers were killed in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
A train operator was killed in 2009. Workers were killed in 2010 and 11 because of the neglect of the system. And so just as passengers have suffered, so have the workers.
Let me go back to the phone lines again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Linda, calling from Lanham. Thanks for calling, Linda. What's on your mind?
I'd just like to say I am a transit worker myself out of the bus garage. At times we talk about the system and we talk about the cost. When Metro cut corners and played with safety, that jeopardize our lives and jeopardize customers' lives every day. Two ways they jeopardize their lives, with this absenteeism policy, with sometimes workers having to come to work with an illness that could be very contagious and can be spread because of the way the absenteeism policy is set up. And let's not talk about their whole fleet of 8,000 buses that they took out of service a couple of months ago, and now these buses are still doing the same thing, which it cuts off while you're operating the bus, which you lose all power and control of the bus. And a lot of times you have a bus full of customers, and this is during the rush hour. And I myself wrote a full report, and I go to board meetings when my union asks us to come to board meetings. And I have spoke this to Jack Evans and spoke it in front of him and gave him a copy of the issue. Our safety meetings is put out at the safety meetings, but they tell us to compromise and just move the bus.
Okay. Linda, thank you so much. I want to talk about safety and security because, again, speaking, we've been talking certainly about a lot of issues that people don't know because this has to do with some of the negotiation and some of the inside baseball, if you will. But some of the things that we have seen have caused members of this community, and I'm quite sure the bus drivers and the metro operators to, if I may, clutch the pearls. The safety issue of passengers throwing urine on bus drivers, attacking bus drivers and other workers. What has been the response of Mr. Wiedefeld as well as other members of the board to this issue? Because I would argue that for passengers, that is something that they may see almost every week or monthly.
You know, Harold, if we, and the direct answer is a little bit of nothing. When the incident with the urine first happened, there was an offer to sit down and develop safety language and talk about what we can do in the jurisdictions to make sure that the penalties are enhanced. We actually went out and we worked together in unison for language to be enhanced in the state of Maryland for penalties. And then, like everything else, it just kind of falls off. Wiedefeld has said little if nothing since then. WMATA seems to have a hard time with the security of the passengers. I don't know whether you're aware, but the ATU itself has gone on Capitol Hill to actually try to get language and legislation put in place to make sure that operators across the United States can look forward to being protected by their employer and making sure that their safety is taken care of, you know, during the time that they're working.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening to everyone.
Yes, sir.
I'm a worker, and I belong to 689 membership. And what I would like to speak on is the fairness of how we're treated as workers as far as this sick leave policy or this absentee policy that they put in effect. We are required as workers to call in 72 hours prior to us being sick.
And if I may, and you may have missed that conversation, we did talk about that earlier. We've had several of your fellow union members talk about that. But go ahead, quickly make your point, please.
My point is, they know, meaning WMATA, after a period of time, it's only a matter of time that we work on a point system. And we get penalized when this happens if you don't give them 72 hours. And they know after a matter of time, they're going to pick us off one by one. Because I don't know too many people that don't have kids. I don't know too many people who know when they're going to get sick. and we earn the sick leave. We earn this after working these years here.
Hmm.
And I don't understand how, it's just not fair. You earned it, but when you use it, it goes against you. You're penalized for using it.
Kevin, thank you so much. I need to take a break, but when I come back, Ms. Jeter, I need you to answer this this question. So what happens if you get sick, if you have a car accident on the way to work? What happens if a relative, a spouse, has an emergency? I want to talk about what that all means, because we hear about this 3-day thing, but I'd like to know about what happens when you have to absolutely call in. We'll talk about that on the other side. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gina from DC, we'll talk to you. Thompson from Virginia, we're going to talk to you as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the threat of a strike and Metro workers and the issues behind it. My guest is Jackie Jeter, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, local number 689. Before the break, I was asking, so what happens if something happens? If you have a car accident on your way to work, if your spouse gets sick on the morning that you were supposed to work, if there is an issue with your child and you cannot come to work, and you, as the previous caller said, they have sick leave. So what happens? How does it work?
Well, right now with the new policy, the absenteeism policy that we're actually grieving and arbitrating, if you are sick, and well, not if you're sick, if you have a life event, let's say you get sick on the way to work or your child gets sick, there is 2 days that's afforded in the contract. But now if it's a life event that takes place that's not excused by the authority, meaning that when you call in, your supervisor or superintendent has to literally excuse that absence. Now the general manager has put in a policy that no one is excused. So every time you call in, you are given a point. And that point, if it adds up to 10 points in, I want to say, a year's period of time, you can be terminated. And with the sick policy, a policy that the union and the authority negotiated in 1994, they have totally negated that policy, although it's part of the collective bargaining agreement that has the rules and regulations of how a person goes sick. And they have added those days into this 10-point system.
What would a strike look like? I'm talking strategically now. If the union decides to make some kind of action happen, are we talking about half a day, 2 days, 3 days, what?
Well, it depends, and we've said this, and I say it depends on the authority. Because what we're asking for, and we gave them the demands, is really the respect of the collective bargaining agreement. And so that is at the crux of this. And the membership in their vote on Sunday gave us confidence to know that they want us to fight for these issues, and they are willing to strike for those issues. That's how important it is to them. Now, my members understand totally what a strike means. A strike is not, like that Norma Rae movie that we watch on TV. A strike is devastating to most families. The last big one in our area was a CWA strike that lasted 45 days. And so it depends on the other individuals on the other side of the table. Paul Wiedefeld, with all of his he acts as if he has the workers' best interests at heart, but he does not. And all of the workers, the 9,000 workers that I represent, know that. He is not what he represents, and he doesn't have any concern or care for his workforce. And I will go further, and I will say he doesn't really care about the public either, because if he cared about the public, some of the things that he's doing now, like this new 41-day surge, nobody asked him to repair every woe, you know, 40-year woe of the railroad in a 4-year period of time. So there is no reason, no excuse why this work has to be done in a 41-day period of time where stations are shut down and people are put into this kind of, uncomfortable situation. But he believes that he knows best, and because he knows best, and most of the politicians in the area pat him on the back and say, kudos, attaboys, and they let him do whatever he wants to do.
If, not necessarily asking you to speak for him, but if you suggest that you know what he doesn't care about, what, in your mind, does he care about?
I believe that he cares about himself and his own reputation of being the person who put WMATA back in good repair. I have never, and I've worked under, and I have been president with four general managers, and there has never been this type of contentious relationship with any other one other than him, because they respected the fact that when they took the job at WMATA, they are dealing with unions. There's FOP, there's Local 2, there's 922, 639, 689. He has to deal with all of us. And just as we're expected to deal with him with respect, he's expected to deal with us in the same way. And he does not.
But isn't that kind of, as you suggested, he's concerned about himself and fixing the system, isn't that kind of why he was hired? And he was hired when the system was under severe duress.
I think that is part of his job, just like it's part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
No, Local 689 also went out and lobbied for the dedicated funding in order to make sure that the system had the money in order to do the repairs that they're supposed to do. So all of us have that responsibility. We have the responsibility of assuring that the system is supposed to get repaired. The system is supposed to be brought up to the standard that we all want it to be. Having said that, part of his job is also dealing with the collective bargaining agreements of all six of the unions for the employees of WMATA. He has annihilated, you know, the whole workforce. He came in immediately, if you remember, he took, 600 managers and made them all at will?
Mm-hmm.
They're all scared. I can't even say the word on TV. I mean, on radio.
Yeah.
You know, they're scared for their jobs. And daily, we're told we're doing it, Jackie, because we have to do it. If we don't do it, there's a threat that we will lose our job if we don't hold to the rules and regulations that he's made.
We've seen a lot of wrangling by the politicians, Maryland, D.C., and of course, Virginia, making sure that their continued financial support is tied to outcomes. What impact has that had on the workers from your perspective?
Well, it has created another layer, you know, of the fight. It really has. Virginia is a right-to-work state, and they will have the right-to-work rules and laws that go along with it. I have sat in meetings where the individuals, the politicians around the area of Virginia were in that meeting, and they have said that we have to make sure that whatever we put in place for the dedicated funding is also linked to the collective bargaining agreement and the compact so that Paul Wiedefeld can do what he wants to do or needs to do. You know, so we have been tied to him in a lot of different ways. I think that there's also Maryland and D.C. that don't necessarily agree with some of the right-to-work kind of rules that Virginia wants to place on Paul Wiedefeld and this local, for that matter. But unfortunately, Paul Wiedefeld chooses to play ball with that.
Mm.
And I can tell you that from the report that they did in Virginia, and this is why you get into this, it's more than just a salary. You know, it's more than our salary and our benefits that they're talking about. I think, and I will say this publicly as well as privately, I think that some of it is just blatant classism and racism that's at the forefront. There was a report that was done in Virginia by Virginians for Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. And this guy said that our wages are average for the area. But they still are doing everything they possibly can to reduce the wages and the benefits of this group of people. And it's hard for me to think that it does not have something to do with classism and racism. Classism because you're taking a middle-class job and you're telling people that work hard every day, you know, and they only have, I'm not saying only because some of us have college educations, but most people think that we only have high school educations and therefore we are not deserving of a decent wage, a wage that is average to government workers in Maryland and D.C. D.C. did a report that said that the average worker, in order to live in the District of Columbia, has to make $43 an hour. My workers live in the District of Columbia. My members, rather, live in the District of Columbia, as well as Virginia and Maryland. So I don't think that all politicians feel the way that some Northern Virginians have said, and I'm glad that they don't. But it was also Maryland and D.C. that agreed to the dedicated funding also.
I'm running out of time, but I wanted to kind of let you have some last thoughts. But first, listening to all of this, again, for the layman, they may think this situation, perhaps even this system, is unmanageable. Is it?
You know, if you had asked me that a year ago, I would have said no. Now I will say this. As long as you have managers that fail to listen to the riding public as well as the workers that work for them, I believe it's getting to that point. I do not believe, you know, we have a petition out, too, that has said that we don't have confidence in Paul Wiedefel anymore to lead us. And so to say it's unmanageable, no. But I will say that it's not manageable by this person. And he is the person who is supposed to be the captain of the ship. And it must be a pirate ship because he's trying to run away with everybody's job and the public's confidence in a good transportation system.
Quickly, I only have about 30 seconds. If not Wiedefel, who? Who could, in your mind, do you have a name or someone who may have the reputation that he had before coming in, who could turn this ship around?
I think that it has to be someone who understands the fact that in public transportation, there are always going to be repairs that need to be made to the system. And so you have to be able to make those repairs, to know when those repairs are made, not to inconvenience the public in that process, and to look for your workers who are your most valuable asset
okay.
to do that work for you.
That'll be the final word. Jackie Jeter, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, number 689, representing Metro Union workers. Thank you for talking to us and taking the time. I want to wish you and the folks on the other side of the table, good luck as you try to work out this really critical issue for the D.C. Metro. Again, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Carol, for having Local 689 on.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Tuesday, July 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.